Welcome back to Startup Nation on WJR. Here's Jeff and Dan.
Okay, welcome back to Startup Nation Radio. Loving this show, brought to you by Walsh College. We're talking about a super startup who's making his dreams come true, and a few others too, by spreading the love with some good vodka and gin. And man, it's great stuff. Rich, you've got a question for our guest, and it's all yours.
I do. Everyone can go into the bar and drink vodka. Everyone can go to the store and buy vodka. Yet you started a vodka company, and I know you make other spirits as well. I'm using vodka by way of convenience. You entered a competitive space. What is the angle? This is a show so people can learn about how to pursue a great idea they may have, and their idea may be in a space that other people are in already, and they have to distinguish themselves somehow. Did you distinguish yourself by virtue of you're making it here, and was that enough? Did you distinguish yourself by some special distribution channel or relationships, marketing strategy? What is the difference that makes it possible for you to sell another bottle under another brand and be successful?
Well, I'm glad you brought up, you know, is it enough that it's made locally? That's obviously a big selling point of ours, but I guess the general answer to your question is it boils down to us as quality. I mean, I don't want people to drink these things because Puff Daddy's drinking it or some other, you know, superstar is drinking it. This boils down to quality in general. But the point you brought up about local is it's obviously a big selling point for us, but I tell people all the time, do not buy my products because they're local.
Well, first of all, it's only a big selling point in the local market in which people are buying it locally, right?
I mean, exactly,
if I'm in a different town, it's not local.
Right, right.
Or is it that it's a hometown, you know, kind of boutique brand, and that's so that it's, I mean, it's kind of local everywhere. Is that it?
Edgy.
That's what we've developed into, but I tell people, don't do it because it's local. You do it because the products are quality, because the products are better. It's icing on the cake that we use local suppliers, local farmers.
What about the price point on your product? Is it more expensive?
Well, you know, we're an ultra premium or a super premium, depending on how you categorize it. But we're actually a couple bucks more affordable than, say, Grey Goose or Belvedere. So we're very competitive with price wise.
And where do I purchase your product? Is it sold at a liquor store or is it sold at a bar? Or
yeah, we're actually distributed in 7 states, not Nevada yet though. But 7 states and liquor stores and bars in those 7 states, you can purchase it anywhere.
And I have to believe that, you know, when the average Joe comes into that bar and they want to order their dirty martini, there's a lot of marketing dollars that have been thrown at, let's just pick a name, Grey Goose or Kettle One in this category. And that's the paradigm, just because they've thrown so many marketing dollars at it. What makes them buy or choose to order your vodka as their drink order?
That's my battle, and that's the battle that I fight every single day. I mean, that's what I do, is the specific, I don't look at it as a problem, but that specific issue. But what I don't do is I don't compete with, we're using Grey Goose as an example, I don't compete with them on dollars spent advertising. So we have to find other ways to compete with them. And, you know, the biggest thing that we have is that we absolutely crush them in the biggest spirits competition in the world. Mm. So the more that we get that message out, the more that we let the public, not only the public know it, but our distributors know that, our bartenders, our
servers, how important is that bartender?
Pardon?
How important is that bartender's opinion?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're our best salespeople. I mean, once you get a bartender behind it, I mean, they come into contact with a lot, you know. So that's one tier of our training and sales.
And your sales force.
Yeah.
Well, Rufino, I would have to think you're benefiting from a couple trends. One is the whole trend towards a craft cocktail. And the more high-end cocktails today, all of your distilled spirits today, correct me if I'm wrong, are all meant to be not only sipping drinks, but high-end cocktail drinks that really enhance the flavor of that cocktail.
Yeah, exactly. I don't like to be pretentious and tell people how to drink their it's liquor.
Right.
I mean, you got to have fun with it.
Right.
But these are enough quality where you can sip them on your own.
And the packaging, I have to say, is incredible.
Well, it's got to be fun, too. I mean, you're drinking booze, right?
You know, it's I think that's an important point, Dan. Rich is getting to the point, you know, how does someone ask for this specific spirit? And I think you bring up a good point. If I'm sitting in a bar and I look up at the choices up there and on the behind the bartender, and I see this packaging, you know, of course, the people in the audience right now can't see it, but
on our online show, they can see it.
On the online show, you can see it right at startupnation.com. You can see it. But it's great, great branding, great packaging, very compelling. I'd ask about it. I'd say, what's that?
Well, you know, in answer to Rich's original question, I guess, you know, it is a lot of word of mouth.
Word of mouth, sure. In the beginning, right?
In the beginning,
yep.
For sure.
Yep.
So you got to get your fans. But now, you know, we've gotten to that point, and this is what I think I saw 10 years ago, was that, hey, this already happened with microbreweries. People are sick of
mass-produced products, right?
So they go look for interesting things that no one else has heard of yet.
Regional,
and we actually
edgy,
use that
cool.
that to your advantage. Haven't heard of this.
And I think the other thing too is that, you know, so much people think about products as, you know, the end goal being that a consumer is going to buy that or this or whatever it may be. The reality is people are buying an experience, right? Or what it's going to do for them. We always have to keep that in mind. Whether you're selling a carpet cleaner, what's going to do for you? It better clean better than the competitor's product. What's this? This is an experience. You go to the bar, it's about being social, it's about being cool. You know, it's about having a great experience, having fun, and drinking a new product with a great taste in cool packaging that other people are saying, hey, what's that? That's cool. That's all part of it, isn't it?
Well, right from the beginning, I focused on that experience that you're talking about.
Exactly.
I want people to actually connect with our brand, you know?
Right. And so, Ruffino, tell us about that very first product that you had, the very first time you put your vodka in a bottle and you went out there to sell it. Tell us about that experience. That's that first time.
It's got to be a thrill, yeah.
I mean, it's thrilling, but it's also terrifying.
Scary.
You know, you spent a lot of time and a lot of money, and you put, well, in particular, I have my name on this thing.
Was it successful out of the gate?
Yeah, I mean, it was really successful out of the gate, but it's always, you know, talk about giving advice, and I got probably some of the best advice way early on, was that you could make the best, in this case, spirits. You can make the best vodka, gin, or whiskey. But ultimately, you're not a distiller. You're a salesman. And I had to get out there. And for the first couple of years, I sold this stuff myself. I was going into liquor stores, bars, and selling it myself. So
wow,
I think that's really great advice for every entrepreneur out there. When you decide to go into business, you have to be your number one fan and number one salesperson and advocate out there in the marketplace.
Absolutely,
go ahead. Sure. And I think you know, a mistake that a lot of people maybe make is that you think if you come up with the next greatest thing that it's just going to fly off the shelves. And I don't know any business. You mean Spanx? Everybody hears about this, you know, the lady.
Hey,
who
we interviewed Rich. Hey, remember Rich? We had Startup Nation Radio. Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx. Now she's a billionaire now, one of the Forbes 400. But she called in and pitched her idea to us 9 years ago, whatever it was. We first heard about it as an idea. I mean, clearly, boy, she got it.
Well, she had to sell it.
Jeff, we virtually made her into a billionaire.
There you go. We should be giving her a phone call. She owes us, doesn't she, Rich?
Yeah.
I love this. Well, that's that whole thing about making dreams come true. Listen, guys, we've got a couple of callers calling in from the nation with some questions piling up here. Let's try to get one right now. We may not get to the answer before the break, but let's at least get the question in, and then we'll make sure we get the answer if we got to go to a break and then come right back. So we've got Alistair calling in from San Francisco. Is it Alistair? Are you with us? Hello?
Hello?
Is this Alistair?
Yes.
Did I say your name right?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great, great. Calling in from San Francisco. You've got a question. You've been listening to the show and getting inspired by our super startup story today. You've got a question for us. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I'm doing a high-end jewelry startup. And jewelry is an industry where there's a lot of very similar product. I suppose, and I mean, this is a bit on from where we were before. How do you differentiate? I mean, how do you really draw yourself out when you've got all this sort of similar stuff on the market?
Alistair, I want to, before we have, before we, guys, any one of us can jump in, and please, Rufino, you're a super startup today. That makes you an expert, so that gives you license to jump in and give an answer as an expert. Alistair, I've got a question for you. What, you've got a, you say a new jewelry, you know, in the case of Rufino, he's got a high-end premium line of spirits. So he's breaking out by creating a boutique, some local, you know, there's some local in the equation there. But really, it's a high-quality product, a premium product that breaks out from away from the mass-produced product. In your case, you say you've got a jewelry company. I'm curious, before we get you answers, what are you doing? You tell us first. What is the differentiation in your jewelry line?
I mean, I think with us, it's sort of trying to draw out what uniqueness there can be in terms of, you know, artisan jewelers and, you know, really interesting designs, while at the same time trying to provide really, really great service and an experience that sort of goes online and offline in a way that most of the big guys don't yet do.
Okay, very interesting.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, listen, guys, we're going to run to a break. That's interesting. Stick with us. We're going to come back, Alistair, and we're going to answer. We're going to get some expert opinions here. Rich, we're going to get you in here. Dan, Rufino, we're all going to jump in. We're going to have a little discussion about how you really break out from the noise, break out from the competition, get noticed, and get those sales going by differentiating yourself. Stick with us on Startup Nation Radio. If you've got a question, 800-859-0957. We've got the answers. Coming back with them in just a minute on Startup Nation Radio.